A plane load of gunmen took off from South Africa in 2004. Their intended destination was a tiny African nation called Equatorial Guinea. They planned a coup, and their failed effort involved Mark Thatcher, the son of Britain's former prime minister. Later, the journalist Adam Roberts visited Mark Thatcher, who did not appreciate the attention.
He wasn't at all pleased. He made some, I guess, joking threats that I might be walking around on stumps, but I'm hoping that was a joke.
Didn't you write? He said you'd be called Stumpy, didn't he say that?
When I repeated the threat to him, he said, "You'll be Mr. Stumpy."
Adam Roberts shrugged off that threat and wrote his book, The Wonga Coup. It describes a plot to seize a small country of great interest to the West.
It is a big producer of oil. In sub-Saharan Africa, it's the third biggest exporter. And the revenues from that oil is controlled by a small clique of people in the government. So if you take over the government, you have a good chance of getting hold of quite a lot of the revenues from the oil export.
So who was this man named Simon Mann who at some point was looking at or thinking about a map of Africa and thinking about landing in that country with a plane load of gunmen?
Yeah. Well, Simon Mann was a buccaneer. He's an adventurer. He used to be in the SAS, the British Special Forces. He then worked for a group called Executive Outcomes, which was a corporate mercenary group that fought in Angola and other places. And by the year 2004, Simon Mann was working on his own and looking for an adventure which would make him some money.
What made him think that he was capable of taking over a country?
Yeah, it's a pretty daring, ambitious thing to try to do. He thought that he might have the support of some governments, possibly the Spanish government, possibly the South African government, and maybe even possibly the tacit support of Britain and America.
What evidence would suggest the United States supported this idea?
Well, it's pretty limited, and it may have been that they deluded themselves, but the coup plotters tried to quietly talk to people in the intelligence world about what they were going to do, and they maybe thought that they got a sort of a nod and a wink to go ahead with it. So the hard evidence is not easy to find, but they got a plane from the United States that they then tried to use in the coup plot, a sort of not quite military plane, but it came from the US government ultimately.
So I guess what we've just heard there is one of the things you need to do in order to put together a coup. You got to get into the country somehow. Their plan was to fly in a plane load of guys. What else do you do in order to set up a coup attempt?
The coup plot has brought together about 100 soldiers, a lot of them really battle-hardened, who'd fought in Angola, some who'd fought in Iraq, and people who were pretty used to picking up guns and fighting.
And where'd they get the guns?
The plan was to get most of the guns from Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe does have a company called Zimbabwe Defense Industries, which sells the sort of light weaponry that you would use in an attack of this sort.
So take me through this timeline twice. What if the coup had gone off exactly as planned? What would have happened?
If it had gone perfectly, they would have flown into Equatorial Guinea. One plane would have flown up from South Africa. On that plane, you would have had most of the soldiers and most of the guns. That would have landed in Equatorial Guinea, and they would have fought their way through to the presidential palace and taken over the government. That's if it had worked.
And what really happened?
What really happened is it all fell apart. They got to Zimbabwe to buy the guns, and they were arrested and dragged off to hellish conditions in prison.
What did these guys do wrong?
Well, they probably thought that this was still the 1950s when you could get away with this sort of thing. I mean, in 21st century Africa, you can't really expect to carry out a coup like this. They were wrong to assume that they were more superior or more sophisticated than African governments. They were wrong to try and get their guns in Zimbabwe. And I guess, morally, they were wrong to try it in the first place.
They were infiltrated.
They were infiltrated. The South African intelligence knew what was going on. People were loose-tongued. They were talking about it. They were boasting about it in bars even before they set off. They were not being secretive. They were not being careful.
Mr. Roberts, you said earlier that this coup attempt was morally wrong. But as you researched conditions in Equatorial Guinea, did you begin to wonder if maybe it wouldn't have been such a bad thing for the coup to succeed?
Yeah, there's clearly a feeling that the corruption is obvious, the misrule is obvious, and you think maybe if there were a coup, you'd get a better government in its place.
In describing both of the presidents this country has had since independence, you used the word cannibal.
Yeah, I don't want to say for sure that they're cannibals, but a lot of other people have accused them of that. And I think that the horrors that were perpetrated in Equatorial Guinea under the old president are almost beyond imagination. It was a terrible place. About a third of the population was either killed or fled the country. Intellectuals were killed. the current leader is better, but he's hardly a good example of a leader for Africa.
What exactly were the charges of cannibalism?
The opposition leader, the guy who wanted to become president, accused the president of being a cannibal. He said that if he went back to Equatorial Guinea when the current president was still in charge, he would be eaten by the president. But specifically for this individual man, the president, there is no evidence for it at all.
What about the former president, the only other president Equatorial Guinea has had?
Again, he was accused of it. It would be a tradition to eat parts of the body of your enemies to get their powers, to get their... You'd eat a bit of the liver, perhaps, to get some of their spirit and their strength. Nobody's actually going around collecting the evidence, so I wouldn't be able to say categorically yes, but it sounds quite likely.
I got to ask one other question.
Sure.
Just to square the circle on this question of cannibalism,
yeah.
Some of the coup plotters who were arrested ended up in prison in Equatorial Guinea.
That's right.
Anybody ever eaten?
No, not that I know of. I mean, that prison in Equatorial Guinea is a dreadful place. It's called Black Beach Prison. It's about the worst place on the planet you'd want to end up. The health conditions are awful. There's disease, there's torture. A lot of prisoners die. But I've never heard accusations of cannibalism in that prison.
And where's Simon Mann, this British former Special Forces officer who was one of the leaders of this?
Simon Mann is still sitting in prison in Zimbabwe. He's in a cell in the high-security prison in the capital city. It's a miserable place, and he will be having a pretty miserable time.
Adam Roberts is the author of The Wonga Coup. What's Wonga?
Wonga is an old British slang word for money. It's just a coup for money.
Well, Mr. Roberts, I hope the book is making you lots of wonga.
Thank you very much.
You can get a look at a cast of characters in this plot by visiting npr.org.